Blog Talk Radio.
Yep. And we're back. We're rebooting this thing. As you know, this is a work in progress. So we're experimenting with some things. And I understand folks couldn't hear me. Hopefully they can hear me now. And wife, if you can hear me, just give me a thumbs up in a text that you can hear me so I can continue on. If not, we'll have to go back and do it again. So hopefully this is working this time. And so what we were going to talk about on this broadcast was how to set up a budget. I'm sure a lot of people have a budget. Usually it's in their mind. This usually is not something that they've written down anywhere. It's something that they've been able to just kind of create on their own. And have not really been able to, have it in their heads and not necessarily on paper. And I just believe in order for a budget to have any real power, you got to have it, you have to have it on paper. So I think that's important. So I'm going to play a segment from my nationally syndicated radio show from about, 25 years ago. And then we'll be back.
Can parents with different attitudes about finances raise money-smart kids? Find out on today's Your Personal Finance.
Chrysler 300M presents an original composition by Dr. Sonia Sanchez and Mr. Eric Benet.
Perfection in an imperfect world.
I hear you. Whispering my name in the wind. Go on with your high energy self.
300.
I feel you rounding these curves, bringing your rhythm of life to the road.
Perfection in an imperfect world.
You bring speed and beauty. You bring the future and the past. I say, wake up, world.
Perfection.
And let this new day come in.
300
in. The best place for kids to learn about money is at home. But according to surveys, youngsters in the U.S. are embarrassingly uninformed. What makes money a taboo subject in many households? Apparently, it's the emotional debates parents often have about it. But mothers and dads should agree on this. It's important to get an early start teaching your children basic financial concepts. To help your kids, divide money management into four basic areas: earning, spending, saving, and borrowing. In your daily routines, while you bank, pump gas, or discuss family vacations, use every opportunity to give clear, practical examples of these principles. As your kids grow, so should their financial lessons and responsibilities. For Your Personal Finance, I'm Charles Ross.
Oh, okay, and we're back. And unfortunately, when I started this show, I only allowed the 15 minutes, so it's going to be a real quick budget talk. And I guess what I'm going to do is on this particular broadcast, I'm going to do a couple of two things. One, take phone calls if you're inclined, if you're listening live and want to call in with a question about finances, 516-387-1554. That's 516-387-1554. And when you do call in, just you're going to have to listen. If you're on your computer, you're going to have to mute your computer and just listen through and talk through your phone. Because if not, then just like if you call a regular radio station, you're going to get feedback. It's going to sound very funny. Okay. All right. So with no callers, what I'll do is I'm going to go through the balance sheet. If you go to the if you click on the link, you'll go and see, you'll see three sheets. You'll see the balance sheet, the income and expense sheet. There's two of those. And I'm just going to talk about the balance sheet for now. I've got about 8-9 minutes. And the first thing is, and why this is important, why a balance sheet is important, because some people think that how much money they make is really an indication of how wealthy they are. Now, no, you could make $20,000 a year and be rich, and you could make $2 million a year and be poor. And the reason is that a balance sheet captures what you've been able to save and invest as you're making this money. So it's very important. And it's kind of like your report card. And you should do one like at least once a year. Usually at the beginning of the year, it's a good chance to go through and say, okay, how much of the money that has come through my hands in the past year have I ever been able to really keep? So first thing, let's deal with the asset side. These are the things that of a value. So you would start with cash on hand, you know, that'd be money you have in your pocket or whatever. Checking account money, money they have in your checking and savings account. If you lent somebody some money, that's loans receivable. In other words, money that you can expect to get at some point. So it's an asset. If you are fortunate enough to have a cash value life insurance policy, which I do recommend for these people who are over 40, 45 years of age, you'll put that down. Investment real estate. So if you're a real estate investor, you can put that there. Your personal residence, which is generally most people are going to have two assets that are going to probably be the biggest assets on their balance sheet, their personal residence, if they're a homeowner, and their retirement account, whether it's a 401k or 403b plan. And then your investments, stocks, bonds, mutual funds. I don't know if anybody even buys certificates of deposits anymore. If you're lucky to earn 1%, maybe 2% on that. IRAs, retirement plan, which is your, you know, would be if you're a union, if you have a pension coming from a company like teachers and some hospital workers, and some corporations still have pensions if they've gone the way of the dodo bird, IRAs and others, personal property, home furnishings, appliances. These things are less of value because you really can't sell those things. You can, but they're really not worth it. But it's good to always know how much you've invested in home furnishing, appliances, clothing, jewelry. But automobiles, now you need to put that on there, because on the other side you'll see that you may have a liability on that case. So you add it all up and you have a total assets. Then on the liability side, these are the things that you owe: your current debts, credit cards, loan payments for your auto, investment real estate loans, your personal residence loan, and of course the home equity that you have in your home. Now, so you a home equity loan, lines of credit rather. So now, any other liabilities that you have, maybe you owe somebody some money or something like that, put that there. And so now you have your total liabilities. So now you add up, you've added up your assets, you subtract it out your liabilities, and now that's your net worth. And I'm always kind of concerned when I see some of these celebrity net worth websites say, what is so-and-so's net worth? And I'm thinking, how can they know what somebody's, a celebrity's net worth is if they don't know what their liabilities are? You just might want to say, what are their issues? More accurate would be, what are their total assets? In other words, what is they? And I personally don't know how to even come up with that. That'd be a good thing to kind of look into. But, you know, they can't know that what their liabilities are, all of them. That's personal information and with a bank or whatever. So I'm always concerned about that. They may be maybe more looking at, you know, what their income is, because you can make $100 million a year and be $110 million in debt. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just the way it is. Okay, so personal balance sheet, very important. That's the first thing you need to do. With the Quicken software, I had recommended that that you download from Amazon. You can get it for about 30, 40 bucks, and you could almost immediately start working on it, because what happens is, instead of them sending you a CD disc, a disc, that they'll give you a code, and you could download it immediately and start working on your budget. I encourage everybody to do that during this time because we don't know how long this pandemic is going to last, and everything's changing almost on a daily, hourly basis. And you're hearing about companies having to make adjustments with their workforce, and you might be one of the ones that might be on that list. So I only got about a few more minutes. I'm going to play another segment of another part of one of my vignettes. Our call-in number is 516-387-1554, 516-387-1554. We're going to play another segment of my nationally syndicated radio show from 20-something years ago, which I think is still relevant. Take a listen.
Your wallet is a little short, but the bills keep coming. Financial strategies when money is tight on today's Your Personal Finance.
Back live. Those things are what we call evergreen in the business. It's always good information about what you should be doing with your finances. One of the things before we go, I was really excited. Oh, I was really waiting to find out if an insurance company is going to step up and share some concessions that they're going to make, some suspensions of payments or whatever during this national crisis. And we're talking about auto insurance, homeowners, and of course, life insurance. So it was very pleasing to find out that Allstate on actually today, which is one of the largest auto insurance, said today that it would return more than $600 million in premiums to customers as many Americans are driving less due to stay-at-home orders aimed at curbing the coronavirus outbreak. Most will receive a payback of 15% of their monthly premium in April and May. And State Farm and Progressive are also among the largest auto insurers, are also looking into the driving decline and its potential impact. And so they're looking at what they're going to do. That just makes sense that if drivers are operating their vehicles a lot less during this pandemic, I'm sure these companies track the claims that they get every day, maybe even every hour. And I'm sure they've seen a sharp decline because people are not driving. In addition to that, those people who are driving, there's less cars on the road and less chances for you to get into an accident. So we're going to keep up on that and see how that pans out. Once again, thank you so much for joining the Charles Ross Show. And we're going to leave again with Barry White.